something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Weed Man came over, and guess what? He's a bud.
Annalise got two new mice a little while back.
And Much Music 1995 countdown. How many can Jer get right? It's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hello.
Summertime, bud.
Summertime,
it's like
9 to 5.
Pre-summer. It's like New Year's Eve of summer. Grass is mowed, pools
well,
open,
this is actually,
boats in the water.
This is better than summer right now because there's less bugs, but the bugs are already burling.
It's not too hot. It's not too
like
cold.
Today. Hey, how was the Green Day concert? Did you go?
Oh, they did Duck in at Santorda.
No way!
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? How was it?
Well, I really enjoyed it, but I went with my buddy.
Yeah?
Yeah, he loves it.
What did he? Oh, really?
Yeah, I loved it, sir. Well,
how was Billy Joe? Was he in fine form?
Billy Joe, yeah, but that, what's the drummer's name?
Trey Cool.
Trey Cool, yeah. That's, it means really cool in French.
It does, yeah.
He is really cool, though, so that name makes a lot of sense.
Wow, they did all the Basket Case and the...
Yeah, what's the, when he goes... Did that one say?
Yeah.
I said to my buddy in the taxi on the way to the venue, what song do you think they're going to do first? He says, it's got to be that. When I come around. That's the one they did, huh?
That would be it, too, right? Because is Dookie have that? In the,
When I come around. Well, I heard you cry in love. The Sneaky S's on the Newfoundland Green Day cover band. Green's Day. Well, I heard you cry in love. All the ways across town.
All the ways across
town. You've been searching for that someone, and it's me out on the prowls. Love that.
It's kind of like, it's kind of got a Gordon Lightfoot vibe.
Yeah, and there's just certain words where the accent comes in. No times to search the world around.
No, but it also lends itself to thinking that Gord could probably crush any Green Day
song. No time
song.
To search the world around. When you know
he's all, he's all psyched. Bernie's like, oh my god, why don't you do a Green Day?
And he hits a win. When I come around.
Green Day tribute record.
He's not really bending no notes. When I come around. There's no scoop up. So, Jer,
yeah.
It's pre-summer. As I said,
yeah,
lawn's been mowed and... boats in, pools open, like, I'm dialed. And I'm planning to take a lot of time off this summer. That's my plan.
Gardening, filling up those bags.
Yeah, but as you know, when man plans, God laughs, is what they say.
So, yeah, I guess the Berlin wind and the storm last week.
Where, out here?
Did you guys catch any of that, or was it just in Ontario?
I think it was just in Ontario, but it sounded
scary. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Did
Everywhere,
you lose any
trees
like,
coming down?
How did that wiggly tree across the way make out in the storm?
All the trees, no big trees came down in this neighborhood, but the wind was just burling, and I guess we didn't get it as bad as places like Peterborough and Uxbridge got just really badly hit.
Scary.
To the point where it's like it's still, there's still so much work to be done there. So it's, it's terrible.
The thing that's
Hopefully,
nuts about
that's
those weather phenomenons is that the next morning it's sunny and calm. I remember that about Hurricane Juan in Halifax, and then there's just destruction
with a bunch
everywhere.
Of rubble everywhere.
Yeah, like sidewalks upheaved? Is that a word?
Yeah.
Yeah. The upheaval.
Like, can you see always like when it's like the after effect of a storm, like in one of those, like in the, I don't know, like the one with the Tom Hanks, just the Castaway there. like that huge a storm happens, and then like the big day after, it's all perfect, no wind,
yeah,
sunny, that vibe.
Those CNN foul weather poncho masks live for that stuff, though. Hang a 90-degree angle off a flagpole.
I'm hoping it's not a taste of the summertime, because it's pretty early to be having storms like that.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's not...
We don't really get those. They're saying we might start to. There are hurricanes here, but we don't get the like cyclones.
Well, that's the wind is what gets you every time.
Yeah.
Listen, like I got here.
Trey's cool. Look at him go, okay?
That's the best. Loves the drummer guy in the group of friends.
Billy Joe, look at Trey Cool, look at him go. Look at him just wailing, say. Like he's right angry with the drum.
Just wailing back there.
Look at him just wailing back there.
And then he's doing like he's looking at his buddies with the dart in his mouth talking and air drumming.
Yeah.
Look at him go, boys.
Oh, he's coming aboard it like a pirate.
Okay, listen, do him for this part.
No time to search the world around. Cause it knows where I'll be found.
you missed all the drum fills. Do the guy that's watching him and psyched about the fills. Right here.
Oh, hear that sneaky fell? Just like booger that style. Look at Trey Cool. Look at him. Look. Look. Huh? Look.
Oh man.
I love that. La and la mean two different things. La, what? La. So genuinely psyched. And it Green knows Day. Where I'll be found.
It's true though, like they do crush it live.
Oh yeah.
Of all the Joey. Whoa, nice Joy.
Joey, come down by
letting her rip.
Oh, there must be someone walking on the road. Yeah. Joey, come here.
Oh, that's the big scare when they see it's like, this is my chance. This is my job.
Well,
right.
We were working with this dog gentleman. Evan Doggett is his name, and Doggett Style is his company. And
yeah, you're talking about that. How the job that like they have the gig, right? Of like somebody's here.
Yeah, that's the job. She's just doing her job. And he said a lot of people will get dogs that do specific things, and then they're like, "Can you make the dog not do that?" No, that's what this particular breed of dog does. You should encourage and reward that. And if it's too much, then try to distract her afterwards. But she also, Joy is all love and fur and tongue. She does not enjoy cats. And there's some neighborhood cats that come over and look in the window. Yeah. Anyway.
She doesn't like that one bit.
She doesn't love that, no.
So, like...
Cats are making fun of her.
What if it's... A dude wearing, like, you know, a face mask and came over and, like, she could see him trying to pry into one of the windows.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great.
Like, when there would be, like, a slobbery growls and all that
Yeah, stuff. She might go through the window, but mostly what she does is tag unsuspecting people in the horn by accident. Like, she kind of rings the bell when they come in the door. So that is pretty effective too, even if it's enthusiastic.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Going with a vengeance.
Just a snout to the horn.
Lisa told me a story about when she was a kid, she had a lot of dogs on the farm in Pembroke, and they had a German Shepherd that wouldn't make any noise, and one of her brother's friends was sneak coming over to just come over to go to sleep or something, but like open the window to sneak in as opposed to going through the front door. And I guess it was late at night and he didn't want to wake anybody. But he goes in through the door and the dog's just sitting there not barking at all. And as soon as this puts one leg in, the dog rips on the guy's calf. Big, huge bite.
Wow.
Like, you're not coming in here. And that was it. Woke up the whole house, obviously.
Yikes.
But that's like, that's next level where it's like, no, I'm not making a sound until you step in here.
Then it's on.
Then it's on.
Well, I often wonder, I think her instincts would take over if she sussed something was fishy. Or maybe she would pick up on our energy if we were like, what? Who's this? No, that's not right. Maybe she'd pick up on that.
And her bark is so big that anybody would go running away. Like, they would not want to deal with that.
Yeah, like, Joy barks at the cats, Happy barks at Joy. It's quite a cacophony.
Like, if I was trying to rob someone's house, and even if I had a gun, like, if I heard a bark that big, you're still rolling the dice, even if you think you can shoot the thing coming at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no...
You miss.
No easy... There's no easy, like, okay, I'll take care of it with a poison lamb chop. Like, this is not going to happen with that kind of bark.
But there's, that's such a, like, robber movie move. They throw a pork chop to the here boy. You was a good guy. That was my Ray Liotta impression.
Oh, he just died.
Yeah. I know.
See you later, Ray.
Goodfellas is one of the most memorable performances in film history, his role in that movie. Because he had to cycle from, like, highfalutin, overconfident, super cocky guy to super paranoid and in his head guy.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
Yeah, so violent, but so happy. Like, that was very nuanced.
Plus the narration, which is probably a whole other novel on top of it, right?
Yeah, right. And like the helicopter following him at the end, man.
Yeah, when he's really going for it.
So violent, but what a performance that was.
Yeah, it's one of those movies, even though it's like 3 hours long, it can come on and you just kind of get hooked into it.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're stuck watching it.
And it would be hard, I think, playing a character that everyone has such, like, even the audience has a pretty firm grasp on who these people are, or at least cartoonishly, without it feeling like something you'd seen before or over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hey, how you doing? Well, like, everybody has that guy.
I've met guys that are those guys, like, you know, being with people or going to a party and you see a guy like that's connected in that manner or is in the crime world, and they act more like, some of these guys have acted like more like Joe Pesci than Joe Pesci in the movie. I don't know whether they gravitate towards the lifestyle and they, I guess they kind of copy it, but like,
that's a movie I should watch again. My cousin Vinny.
There was a guy driving his car, and he was playing Joe Pesci's
audiobook.
No, it's like Christmas. I guess it was around Christmas time, and this guy's rolling around in this Lamborghini or whatever, and he's got like Joe Pesci's Christmas record, and he's like, jingle bells, I give a shit about the rest of this one, eh?
Like, no,
like it's really bad, like. Tough guy Christmas songs. I don't know if you ever heard
What a terrible idea.
Playing it along and laughing about it. Thought it was the funniest thing ever. And I was just like, felt like I was one of those, like, when you see that British mask with the glasses in prison with somebody talking to them. You know, that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Or like with bikers out at a biker thing. Like, in the element, or just trying to, like, get a feel for the vibe, not get in trouble or say the wrong thing.
Jingle bells.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. I wonder if we can find that.
What a terrible idea.
Yeah, I'm going to make a Christmas album. Gangsta Christmas Records.
I guess you would have to have some kind of frame of reference to play a character like that. Was that the party you went to with the guys?
Out west?
Yeah.
That was the guys, yeah.
The trailer park guys.
Yeah.
And some guy was doing, what was he doing in the bathroom?
I don't want to talk about this.
Well, you're not naming the guy, and it was 10 years ago.
I know, but like, I can't. It's just it's too scary. Those guys were so legit.
They're not messing around?
No.
Would you say they were of the mafia variety?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah. I guess you could say they seemed to be of that ilk. That's not too overstating it. Man, if there's one thing I've learned during the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, which is, sad and hard to watch and mortifying and devastating and all those things for a million reasons, but the one thing that I have really taken away with certainty is you should be very careful about what you put in print in a text or in an email, because you never know when that's going to be read aloud in a court of law. Like, imagine some of those things being read aloud for the world to hear.
No, I know. It's crazy. It's over. Hey, well, listen. Joe Pesci does this album. It's Vincent LaGuardia Gambini Sings. And it's Joe Pesci, and it's just like, yeah, like, Vincent LaGuardia. I guess he's playing a character.
Joe Pesci is? It sounds like an SNL bit.
It is, kinda. But it's like explicit lyrics.
You found like, it.
I did. Do you want to hear some of this? If it doesn't snow this Christmas?
Let's hear it.
Probably going to be an ad on here first, as usual.
It sounds like All Night Long out of the gate.
All Night Long. Oh, man.
Santa works all day in his workshop, making a lot of games and toys. Then one day he hops in his sleigh to bring them to the girls and boys.
No.
Santa's just as nice as he could be. Dad's gonna use that sleigh. In case of rain, would there be a train that'll speed him on? But I sent him
a nice long letter. That's enough. And I hope it's not anyway, that's real.
Here's what I don't get.
Do yourself a favor and don't listen to that.
Is it a joke?
Yeah. He's sitting there with a suit on and got the like the big gangsta hairdo playing
Man.
A character.
It's very ill-conceived, because if it's a joke, it doesn't get there fast enough, and it's not funny enough, and it's a one-note pony, and it's a whole record?
It's a whole
album. No.
I think that's the second album. He did two.
Oh, jeez. Jeez Louise.
1995 was a big year for the pod.
What do you mean, for the pod?
Because the jams in it are all like we've used them in bits in the past.
Yeah, it's great.
For example.
Oh, wow. Was that 95?
Yeah.
I think the third one's dead. Here's Waterfalls, TLC. Yeah. I should remember. Is it Lisa Left Eye Lopez that's not with us anymore?
Yeah.
What a weird throw. That was a hit the post, right?
Hitting the post, yeah.
Casually tossed out that she perished in a fire. I don't know. I don't think she perished in a fire.
It was like, one of us isn't with us anymore.
Here's TLC Waterfalls. only on CQCOQK.
Rest in peace, Left Eye.
It is a jam, though.
And then, of course, like... The Hootie has, like, the Hootie's pounded it in 95.
Oh, yeah. With a little lerp. And some tenderness. I walked upon the water.
It's like, I can't, like, there are some things that were big, but that album and being in America touring while it was blowing up, that album was so big. It's like, I don't even, it's one of the biggest things ever.
Are you going to see Huda? They're doing Cracked Rearview and it's in Florida.
Oh, man, and people even
same year
just crashed. Every
Cracked Rear View and Santorta. What were the songs on Cracked Rear View? That was their big record, right?
I don't know, but like the George Street tribute band,
Let Her Cross
Saturday.
Let Her Cross. As the tears go down like rain. That was a big record. Mostly what I remember it for is Live 101 Confidential and Discreet, David Bronstein, The Prince of Love.
Oh my god, why?
Because that was his, that was the soundtrack. It was one of those songs while scantily clad people rolled around on the beach.
Really?
Yeah.
The what he would play?
What?
What did he play? The jam?
Yeah, it was a Hootie and the Blowfish jam, but it was really? Like, yeah, it was like a...
I wonder how they got away with
that. Well,
it
was a cover. Like, they probably licensed the karaoke track and then had Rob Thorpe from Brampton lay down the vox. Oh, it was Only Want to Be With You. It was.
How do we find that? Jeff.
I don't know. That's probably on the YouTubes. YouTubes. So, Jer, it's a challenge with a lawn the size of ours, weed-wise.
Oh, man.
And we kind of did No Mo May a little bit. That. But then at the end of the month, I was like, can't handle it anymore. Our lawn looks yellow because of the dandelions.
Yeah.
Our neighbor Donna was kind of stoked because... She has bees, and they were able to help themselves to the dandelions, and she thanked us for our contribution. But we also were tired of having a yellow lawn. So mowed it short, mowed them off. We had family raking day last Sunday. Ton of grass we took off, chucked in the field, and discovered that a couple of people in the family have Weed Man on their roster who comes and handles the weeds. Yeah. So we called Weed Man to come. His name is Paul, and he's a bud. Turns out he's like, hey, I listened to Taggart and Torrance.
Oh, wicked.
And I happened to have a Taggart and Torrance t-shirt on, which is not something I often wear. And then suddenly I felt like, oh, I'm merch guy wearing our own merch, which is not a great look.
I love it. No, it's good.
I was wearing it to mow the grass because he showed up when I was mowing the grass. First of all, we've talked before about how when you meet someone who is passionate about what they do, doesn't matter what it is, it's awesome. So Paul is the weed man. He's so into grass and how it grows and how to make it grow better. First of all, there are two types of grass on our lawn. There's Kentucky bluegrass, which is what I planted, and then there's fescue, because Kentucky bluegrass grows far apart. It's thin. Fescue will grow naturally to thicken it out. I said,
so are they supposed to, coexist?
Yeah, they can. Like... And in fact, the fescue is like filling it in. I said fescue 911, and he said no.
Oh man!
So he got a.
So he gave you right away. He gave you the.
No.
The ta da da da.
Yeah, he gave me the sha la la. So he got a measuring tape and measured. Your grass is supposed to be 3 inches, and he said once your grass is 3 inches and you're used to having that kind of lush grass, you won't be able to look at any other grass that's shorter than that, because our instinct is to cut it short. And he said, well, it's like a dude who's losing his hair, cutting it short, all it does is kind of emphasize the shininess of the head. So if it's thin, let it grow long so it'll seem like you have more hair. Same concept for grass.
All right.
He also said you should mow the grass with the natural hills on your lawn. So not necessarily crossways. If you have hills, go with the grain, kind of like cutting wood.
Okay.
So there are three packages that the Weed Man has. We're going to go with the entry level, where they treat the dandelions a couple times a year. We get two loads of lime, and then we're going to review. But he said, right now you're at about 50% weeds. If it was 80%, he'd tell us to get a landscaper and just fold it under and cut our losses and start again. But there's still hope.
Well, what about, so obviously aerating it, like, doesn't that, don't they have to come do that?
Well, that's, I think that's in the mid-level or maybe even the premium package. Okay. But we're going to start with the entry-level package and just see. Because if we can get the dandelions under control, that would help a lot. Also, we've been mowing it too short, so I had to raise the deck on my mower.
Yeah.
Because 3 inches is the move, which to me sounds really long. I've always just really liked it short and tight.
To have that much grass and try to have it like a big, huge lawn, that's a lot of work.
I know, but it's been 3 days since I mowed, and the dandelions are like good 10 inches high.
No, I know. So you got to go European, where you just cut it short. Doesn't matter what it is. It's just short.
Fescue 911.
Well, is it like hurt your feet to run around, or is it fine? Like it's actually, if it's short?
No, it's fine. It doesn't bother me at all.
Like, that's one way to go, because the other way is like, I got to do a lot of work to get it to lawn guy.
Yeah.
And then it's upkeep, because weeds get in there and they go, it's such a big piece of property that it's just so time consuming to make it, you know, you become a greenskeeper at a golf course all of a sudden you're out there.
Well, yeah. I'm all for growing it shorter.
Yeah.
I mean, growing it longer, because obviously that's less work. But I guess it wouldn't look as bad if we got the weeds dialed. Do you mow your own grass, or do you have a service?
No, a lot of people do have a service. Like, they come every other Wednesday, but I do it. We do it ourselves. Look, Lisa does a lot of garden work, and I'll burl the lawn mowing.
What do you have for a hog?
We just pruned a bunch of trees, like took down a bunch of little branches all over the place.
Nice. And
like the 9 bags and then the bundles of sticks at the end of the lawn. But what do I rip? Just one of those electric guys with the batteries.
Like a pushy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Takes two batteries to do the whole lawn.
Yep.
And then there's usually two full bags of mulch.
Do you rake?
No, because it takes it all up. So wherever I find areas that are a little, need some grass, I'll just fire the grass on there, the mulch on there to keep her going.
Mm-hmm. It's satisfying, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I love it. It's something. It's definitely something that gets things going. The guy that was here before was crazy about plants and trees. So there's a lot of trees that grow, and they have this beautiful spring flowering where there's flowers everywhere. But like, it's still, there's flowers flying down all over the place. The cars are always covered in flowers, and then they're beautiful for a second, but then they start to dry out and get like a crust, and then like they stick. So then all of a sudden your car is all sticky.
Yeah, right.
Right. Because it's crab apples.
Oh, yeah.
Which are beautiful trees. But the apples are one thing, but the actual flowers, they
stick.
They're sticky. Stecke.
Oh, the right stecke.
And they're everywhere. It's like your wedding on the front yard. It's beautiful where they're all floating around, but then And then the cars are all like sticky in the morning. It's like, what? Talk about what have salad, but it's still.
We have two bushes on either side of our door, and 51 weeks a year they do nothing. And then for 1 week they are beyond gorgeous. And then that's it, yeah. Their work is done.
Well, like the magnolia tree went with the flowers. I was like, wow, beautiful. But that was it.
Do you have a Maggie?
Flowers. Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably like 10 days of like unbelievable beauty.
Yeah, and then the leaves come. I was like, oh man, why don't you do the leaves and the flower? Nope, just the flowers first and then the leaves.
Yeah, one at a time. Bud, what's your rush?
Hey, I got to tell you, I forgot to say a little while ago, we got two mice for Annalise's.
As pets?
So it's as pets. So we've entered the rodent pet stage, as wow. You did with those little masks.
Chubby Sparkles.
And I had no idea how much these things shit and piss.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
A lot.
Like that, I think that's all they do. Because you, and then like, you have to clean it every other day. Like yeah. Big time clean it. Like spray the bottom. And they're super hard to catch. So like almost every time that you try and get them to go into the other cage to clean it, then like one of them always escapes.
Gross.
And Rebel wants to kill them,
of
right?
Course.
So that part, he's already caught one and like injured it a little bit. Like it jumped out of the cage and Rebel was there and it was in his mouth within 2 seconds.
Of course.
And Anna had to pick him up and shake him and get it out. And it got like a little cut on its shoulder. That was it. But
so was
man.
She freaked out? Like, no, Rebel, no. Stop.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What so are their names?
All kinds of life lessons here. Strawberry and Walnut.
Nice. And are they a man and a lady?
Two females. And they, they're busy. They still don't, like it's been a couple weeks. They still don't really, they keep to themselves. But they have personality and they're up all night, right? So they're ripping in that wheel from like 10 till 6 in the morning. So Anna had it in her room for 2 days. And then it was like, this room smells like a garbage disposal.
Wow.
So instantly, and you can't sleep having that in your room.
No.
Like that's all of a sudden toxic air you're breathing.
Well,
so
plus they're up all night.
Now, yeah. So now they're in the garage where you can air it out and easily clean it, where you can take them out and put them in another cage. But man, a lot of work, the mice, just little mice.
And their poos are so tiny.
Their poo's tiny, but they fire it out of the thing themselves. They're like, get this out of here. Because they're ripped like within, if you don't clean it every other day, it's like, you know, squalor vibes. Like serial killer house.
So much of our lives revolves around fecal matter. Because we now have six non-human residents. 3 horses, 2 dogs, and a kitty. And so much of it revolves around either taking them out to poo or shoveling up their poo or, I guess those are the only 2 options. But it happens a lot. And it doesn't take long for things to get mousy, you know what I mean?
I hear you.
By mousy, I mean smell, not actual mice.
Well, and not to mention, like, the stuff that comes for that stuff.
So are they cute? Like, do you hold them and, like, do they nibble on your...
No. Anna tried to catch one and it bit her.
Yeah.
That was it for that. And the other one you can't catch. You have to kind of put it in a tube and then get it out holding each side.
Yeah.
Or else it's gone. Like this thing's like a trying to get the hell out of everything. As soon as you put it in the cage, they're like looking around the corners like Houdini. I can get out of this thing. Let me check it. I'll check the other thing. Find a hole.
The rat population in New York City is once again out of control.
Oh my God. I cannot imagine if you had like an apartment and you're seeing those cats run by and run into the gutter.
Yeah.
Like they're the size of cats.
I know. And they're really worried about the like outdoor patio dining season because rats are like, mind if I join you?
Oh, they're so
used to
move
people.
Over.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you gonna finish
what are you
that?
Gonna, yeah. What are you gonna do to me? I'm a rat.
Yeah.
Even they know that, right? I can chew through cement.
I saw a video the other day in a dog park in New York, and I think the caption was like, springtime in New York, and a rat was running through a dog park, and the dogs were like, ah, and one would pick it up and kind of chuck it, and then another one would get it, and the owners were trying to prevent the dogs from getting the rat, and people thought that they were trying to protect the rat, but really they didn't want their dogs to get sick. Gross.
The bubonic dog.
If you see a rat in the day, it's something's wrong. It's going to be unpredictable, and it's going to make some poor decisions.
Well, they just
It'll
look like
erratic.
They look. They're like they look like they're of the night.
Yeah,
like a like something that comes out of like a horror movie that, underneath the bed. So you don't like mice. We I know that, but rats must be a whole new level.
Well, there's some stat like in New York, you're never more than 15 feet from a rat.
That's unbelievable.
Which is,
I don't like that.
I don't like that either. I don't want to think about it too much. I don't want to see it, definitely. Like, rats are inconceivable, especially the king rat when they tie their tails together or they run in, as a snake in a big line to seem bigger to predators. But what are predators for rats?
I don't know, but imagine if they figured out solidarity.
Solidarity?
Turned on everybody?
No thanks.
It would be their sitter.
There's a prairie dog living under our deck.
Oh no.
A groundhog.
That sounds like it makes a big mess.
Well, I'm curious to know what people's thoughts are on groundhogs because I saw him the other day and walked as close as I could to see if I would scare him and he didn't move. He just stood really still pretending it wasn't happening. So I got within 7 or 8 feet, and I thought, is this going to be one of those raccoon things where all of a sudden he climbs me like a Christmas tree and he's attacking my face? But he was so docile. However, there has been some minor structural damage to my deck right where I saw him, and I assumed it was because of the weight of the snow, but maybe he's digging it out.
Yes. Yeah, they're tearing it up under there.
Really?
Destroying the foundation of your deck with little burrowing holes.
So what do you do? Live
well, I
trap?
Guess you have to... Yeah, you got to get it out of there and move it, I guess.
So that's bad news bears.
Yeah, that's not good, I don't think.
Huh. He's really cute.
Well, it's not going to... It's. I mean, I don't know. Talk to a professional if you want. But I'm just saying, when they're under there, that means they're when you're living somewhere, you're creating, you're collecting whatnot.
Yeah.
And making, you're just there.
Oh, yeah. I'd say he's collecting whatnot. I'm going to send you a picture of him.
Okay.
Little son of a bee.
Like, he wants to be friends. That's his way of trying to, keep it going.
Yeah.
He's like, I could spend all winter in here. I'm good to go. I won't die.
I know.
Buddy. He's like, hey, pal.
Well, we have a.
And he starts chewing against the corner of the board.
There's a burrow in our field, and I've seen foxes sitting in it like it's a hot tub. Like you can only see their elbows from the elbows up, like their lower extremities are down, but they're just kind of chilling in the hole.
Just waiting for something?
I guess. But I don't know if it was the groundhog's burrow that they're like, oh, I'm going to wait here till he comes back, or if it was the fox's den. But it just seemed weird because it was very exposed in the middle of the field, like not trying to hide from anyone.
Like I took the under the truck that somehow squirrels got under the hood of my truck and started chewing up the, you know, that not the styrofoamy stuff, but the stuff at the top, right on the other side of the dash, like.
What?
I guess it comes apart. Yeah, like it's not foam, but it's like a hard kind of thing that they can rip apart.
What do you mean? Like under the hood?
Where the hood meets the windshield, you know? like when you open the hood and the back of the engine, right by the back of where the dash starts, there's like not a foam, but some kind of a insulator to the windshield, and they were chewing it up.
Wow! So not in the vehicle, yeah. Under the hood.
Yeah, under the hood.
Crazy.
So I guess it's I don't know if they're taking it for their house for as like bedding or what, but.
So what do you do?
I've also seen a squirrel on a tree, like just tearing the bark off a tree, like crazy, like making the whole branch bald. I'm like, man, these things get going, man, when they're doing stuff.
Yeah, they're not messing around.
They're pretty industrious little math.
Okay, so I have to get rid of the groundhog. By the way, we never talked about... I have a funny Kijiji outcome to tell you, but first, let's take a break, bud.
Yeah, and I still haven't put the tub on it yet, so I don't have a story yet. So yeah, let's take a break.
BRB.
Yellow.
So I get the message on Kijiji. I put, just to refresh people's memories, or maybe you didn't hear, but we were going to have a Kijiji kind of contest to see who could sell their what now on the Kijiji. Mm-hmm. And we were going to talk about it the next week. So I had a hood mount microwave that we bought for a flip that we didn't ever use. I was going to gift it to my niece, but you can't just use a hood mount microwave on the counter because it needs ventilation, blah, blah, blah. So I fired it on...
Kijiji. Facebook Marketplace.
No, Kijiji. And I get this message. What colors it got onto it? How many bottles of Screech Long is it? And then, would you take Florida?
No. Cheers.
Cheers, bud. XO.
Oh, it was, see?
Like, it was a bud. Someone heard me say I was going to put it on there. So I was like, good one, bud. And then she wrote back, but really, what color is it? Does it have an integrated range hood? I didn't ever get back to her. Alexandra, if you're listening, I can't answer that question. I don't know what it means if it has an integrated range hood. I know that it's a kind that you put above a stove. And then I put my bike on there too, because I bought a bike from a guy who was skipping town. And so I was going to put my nicer bike, because cycling, not for me. I got into it a couple years ago. It's not for me. So I want to get rid of my nice bike, and I have this like CCM road banger.
So is it like the smooth tires?
Well, it's a hybrid. So it's called a Giant Any Road. It's a really nice bike, and it's light.
Bigger tires?
Yeah, it doesn't have like I'm going to go 200 miles. Like I'm going to go to the airport and back for a training run. Like it doesn't have those tires, but I live on a dirt road. I listen to the Eurythmics on kind of secondary roads, so it can do both. Yeah.
You know what? Like, if I were you, I wouldn't be riding a bike on a dirt road anyway.
Why?
Because I like the idea of riding a bike, just cruising, like, you know, like those guys on the low riding bikes?
Yeah.
Like you're going for a ride?
Yeah, I like that, too.
So I like smooth tires, no nubbles on there. On just like a smooth surface cruising.
Yeah, you like...
Or forget about it.
You like Newport Beach cruising.
Yeah.
Like we're going to the store for rolling papers.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, just like ripping around the neighborhood, like on a smooth surface with smooth tires.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it's bumpy tires on a smooth surface, you're not getting a smooth ride. It's more, you got to grind. Because, like, if there's bumps on your tires, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you also want a flat surface. You don't really want to have to work much.
I don't want to be bumping around or going up and over jumps and stuff. Like, get out of here.
I get it.
Right? I did that when I was a kid, like, wanted to go over jumps. And I tried mountain biking with Duncan from OLP in Hawaii. I got the bike. I got the shoes that stick, like the pedals that stick,
like cleats.
Yeah, like it was the bikes that you have to have those shoes on, or you can't ride it because you can't go on those trails with a normal bike. I don't know why, but anyway, I bought this thing with the sticky cleats, And okay. I'm on this, like, you know, beautiful mountain trail, but it's all created by lava rocks, right? So they're sharp and red, those sharp red rocks everywhere. So, like, I'm riding along, but if there's, like, a quick turn and you can't, like, get your foot off and put it on the ground, you're stuck, so you just fall down.
Oh, I know.
It's like, I did that, like, three times into, like, sharp rocks. I'm like, fuck this. I'm done. I'm never doing this again, and I never did it again.
I don't like when your feet are attached.
Stuck.
And you can't rip them out.
Yeah, so you have to turn your foot, but if you're already falling, that's not something that comes into your head. So forget it. No.
No, hey, it's not for me.
Yeah, it's not for me.
So anyway, I got a couple nibbles on the bike with people saying, like, do you know what size the frame is, and can you tell me what, I don't know, it looks to me like a KN61. Is it a KN62 or, like, like so inside baseball, like bike guy or cycling guy, like the ones that wear spandex shorts into Sobeys, like those people, the sunglasses that flip up like Dwayne Wayne, like the maths.
Yeah.
But the bike hasn't gone yet. I don't know. Maybe my father-in-law would say, once you decide to sell something, sell it. Put a fair price on it and sell it. I might have put it too high. Also, a few people asked how old it is, and I can't really answer that because I can't remember. So I've that noticed, might seem suspicious.
Maybe try Facebook Marketplace.
Okay.
Because I found that, like, from Lisa's understanding, that Kijiji, that's what you get mostly, is people that want to lowball you at, like, 20%.
Ah.
Or it's just not seeming as many real buyers, seemingly. I don't know.
Well, this is the thing.
At least try a couple other ways, because that generally can be the case. You're just getting the wrong...
I'll sell it for less if we don't have to talk. I don't want to talk. Yeah. Like, if we're going to have a few phone calls and you're going to come and look and stay for half an hour, suddenly what I'm getting paid per hour to sell this thing is going down. I'll sell it for less if you just come get it and give me the money and go away. I think that's fair. It's like at the dentist. Yeah. You can either scold me and give me a guilt trip or charge me for the service, but you can't do both.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, it was not a cheap bike when I bought it because I thought I was going hard. And I don't know. I guess...
Eurythmics sounds better walking than riding.
Yeah, it's true. Doobie-doobie-doop-doop-doop.
Speaking of doobie-doobie-doop...
What were you going to fire on the Kijiji? I can't remember. What was your thing?
The bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a... It's a crazy bathtub.
Why haven't you fired it on there yet?
$3,500 US. What?
Jesus. Why haven't you fired it on there yet?
Whatever. It's not a huge priority, I think.
Yeah.
There's so much other stuff going on that's like, it'll happen. And then there's at the back of our heads, like, well, we could throw it into this other bathroom. So it's one of those things.
Yeah, right.
It's not a priority. Because it is... It was a super steal.
It's not a priority.
She only paid like $150 or $200 for it.
Mm.
So it's just one of those things where you can't pass it up or whatever. And you don't want if it's something worth that much, you don't want to necessarily give it away just to get rid of it when A, it's worth a lot, and B, there's the supply chain thing, like the getting a bathtub is so difficult, and it's in a box. It's untouched. So,
yeah, I guess I've heard from friends looking for furniture that a lot of places are like, it'll be a year. If it's an order, be a year.
You like this like that bathtub? It'll be 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, if you walk into any store, try and find, like, any high-end appliances or stuff like that, that actually, even if you do want it, you can't take it out that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're looking at months to a year, at least, which is crazy. Because if you're in a position where you want to move into a house and you don't have stuff, or you're going from one to another or upgrading your kitchen, you can't have a kitchen for months.
I know, it's a complete nightmare. It's a complete nightmare. Okay, you ready? I have the Much Music 1994 countdown open in front of me. 1995, rather.
Yeah, because 94 was a big hit with the Buds.
Yeah. So we'll do 1995. See how many of these you can guess, and we'll do like a speed round.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready. I'm Retta.
Okay.
Gino Retta.
Well, this is actually interesting. Okay, first one here comes. Ready?
Yeah.
When I come around.
Oh, Green Dot.
Ooh, I look just like Buddy
Holly. Weezer.
Yeah. How do I cool your jets? Whammy bar. Wah, wah.
Yeah.
After the Jan Arden again. Breeze. Yeah. Love here come job. The hot stepper. Turn around. Excuse me, Mr. Officer. Turn around.
Who was that?
Let's do it like this.
Yeah.
Here come the hot stepper. Turn around. Excuse me, Mr. Officer.
I can't remember the name. Any Camos? Oh, there see, go. There you go.
You that's don't tough. Know how it feels to be me.
Tom Petty.
Yeah. Tom Petty. Say goodbye, not knowing when the truth in my whole life began.
Oh, who is that?
She vote.
Oh. Oh, Madonna.
Yeah.
Madonna.
Gotta feel like hell tonight.
Sheryl Crow.
Yeah. The Ballad of Peter Bumpkin.
That's like the Crash Test Dummies.
Yeah. Kiss from a Rose on
Seal.
The yeah. Yeah. This is good. I don't know. I know the bands. I don't know some of these songs. I'm just going from week to week because there's a lot of the man who sold the world.
Oh, that's all wasted.
Yeah. Oh, the man who sold the world. It was like the big version was the MTV Unplugged.
Oh, Nirvana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wrote the Unplugged.
I had a dream where I relished in the fray and screaming filled my head all day. Yeah.
Some good gourd right there.
What?
Good gourd.
Well, gourd had, like Stipe, he had sneaky vibrato. Yeah. That was cartoonish gourd. He had obviously a great vibrato. I was overdoing it just to help. Oh, here's one. Here come the hot stepper.
You just did that. I still forgot his name.
Coming back
live.
Again. Yeah. I got an ocean pearl.
5440.
Yeah. Let her cry when the tear fell down my brain. Yeah. This was right in the pocket when you guys were on the
road. For sure.
Philosophy Big for time. King's Charms. I don't remember that one.
I remember it. I don't know how I can't sing it to you this moment, but once it started, I would.
Can't Stop Loving You, Van Halen. Murder Incorporated, Springsteen. Elton John, Believe. Like, I know all these bands, but I don't know these songs.
How about, a cold December when I found you again.
What is that?
Isn't that Counting Crows?
A long December, there's reason to believe. Oh, what
is
was
that,
the?
That year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rolled up the hillside, man, for some time after 2 a.m. And I talked a little while about the year.
Maybe later. That's kind of the beginning of emo.
Yeah.
That singing.
Yeah. Portishead. Oh, guess what? Here's a good one to end on, bud.
Okay.
Okay, who sang this? Doobie doobie doop doop doop.
Annie Lennox, baby.
Yeah, that was 1995.
Absolutely.
As was, this is how we do it.
No, it wasn't.
This is how we do it.
Was it?
Yeah.
No way.
Well, it was on the charts in 95.
That's awesome.
Good job, bud.
Good job. But, oh, wait. I'm going to try and find another one that you missed that was on here.
From 95?
From 95.
Yeah, hit me. Remember when Carol tricked me into going to see Cavalia with the horses because she told me horses danced to the song?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I want to see that.
And then you saw the guy get mashed into potato salad.
Come on, it'll be fun.
He got the guy who got turned into a smash burger.
Remember steaks at Ponderosa when they had the grill marks going both ways? He got rammed into the fence so hard, that's what he looked like.
No, I'm saying he was like a smash burger where he just grinded right into the grill as hard as you can. Karaoke, folks, don't worry about it.
That's gonna smart tomorrow, LOL.
It's like scraping him off the wall.
They scrape him into a dustpan. They'll be all right. Couple of Advil, sort him right out. Anyway, look over here at this other thing that's happening.
Oh.
John Bond.
Oh, okay. Good job, Bond.